to try and find a trend that's bigger than you in a hot market that you think is going to be hot for a long time,
yeah,
where there are not many people already in the marketplace. Because then, as someone who's setting out on that journey, 6 months into that new trend or that new opportunity, you are an expert because you've been in it for 6 months.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Today, I'm joined by Murray Newlands. Murray, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Murray is an entrepreneur. He's an online marketing and PR expert. He's a published author. He's a business advisor and speaker. He's the founder of Due.com, which is an online invoicing company that helps over 75,000 businesses based in San Francisco. And he's a regular contributor to Entrepreneur.com, Inc.com, VentureBeat. He's been featured on the Wall Street Journal, The Guardian, Forbes, Huffington Post, you know, dozens of other publications. Murray, does that sound like you?
Sometimes, some days, on a good day.
So that's a hell of a resume. But as our listeners can probably detect, you're not necessarily from the US.
So I'm from England originally. I was working in England, and I started to do more and more work between the US and the UK. And that's interesting. Whenever there's a long distance or change in language or even change in market, often working between the markets is a great place to be. But as you would know, I met a girl in America, and that was a good reason for me to try and move to America.
That's the best.
And as time went on, I also realized that the San Francisco Bay Area was a phenomenal place to live and work. The weather here is much better 99% of the year than in England. I love being outside in the sunshine, so I get great weather all year round. And the work opportunities, if you're going to be working in tech, then working where it's happening in Silicon Valley definitely provides more opportunity, more insights. You get a global view because there's so many people coming from around the world. And so I was determined to make this my home. And I found out you could get a green card as an alien of extraordinary ability. And in order to do that, really, you need to get a lot of press and a lot of attention about yourself. And so I set up a blog about marketing because that's what I was good at. Uh-huh. At the age of 32, I moved back in with my parents, which is always seems to be the first step of an entrepreneur's dream.
Yes.
Thankfully, my blog took off. I wasn't crazy doing this. And eventually, Wiley, which is one of the major publishers in the space, offered me a book deal. I was interviewed in lots of publications. I was offered speaking gigs around the world, being flown to Malaysia, from England, being flown to Florida is speaking internationally, and lots of different places. And so eventually I got my green card as an alien of extraordinary ability to move to America. And I got my visa approved. And the next day I was on a flight to America and haven't looked back since.
But which is a fantastic story. But what you're not really telling us about is the extraordinarily wide range of challenges that you face and the soul searching and the difficulty, because, you know, leaving behind friends, family, business contacts in the UK. I mean, presumably when you came to the US, it was just Murray Newlands.
So, yeah, I mean, at 30 odd, moving back in with your parents, deciding to set up an entity, which was my blog, which didn't make any money, didn't really have a business plan, except that I was going to get a lot of attention and build a brand, was really tough. It was psychologically tough to give up. Like I could have just got a job and had a good income to give up the personal freedom of moving at home. You don't always necessarily get the same. Although your parents are like, I do whatever. It's never quite the same.
Yeah.
And I mean the social stigma of, hey, I live at home with my parents.
Yes.
The other thing was that I was dating someone in America. We actually split up during the period and I still decided to come.
Yeah.
But to decide I wasn't going to date anyone in England because I didn't want to be in England, but I couldn't date anyone in America because I couldn't do that. So I kind of closed down my personal life, just focused on my work and just put in the hours. And it is a very hard, particularly when you're starting off.
Yes.
It's a very hard psychological journey with many, many failures and very small successes. And what you don't realize when you see someone, like I now write for major publications, people say, how did you do that? Well, I put in thousands of hours of writing away in the dark on my own, just slogging to get it out and to make the business happen. I mean, I think I've been fortunate in that when I was younger, I had a marketing company that was reasonably successful. And so I kind of realized that you have to have, I mean, you know, why are you successful? Well, you're successful because your one business takes off, but that one business takes off was probably one of 20 business ideas that you tried.
Yep.
And that one business idea you probably tackled from 100 or 200 different ways and different conversations and different meetings and different tactics.
Yep.
So in order to have that one success that's really successful, you probably had a few hundred failures in different manners or different mechanisms. And it takes a certain type of personality, genius personality to go to smack your head against the wall so much and see so much blood in front of your face.
You mentioned the word determination earlier, and it is that the unwritten story of the entrepreneur, the thing that everyone seems to gloss over when they reach success, is just the number of the, as you say, thousands of hours, tens of thousands of hours, where you have no one who's really there to affirm whether or not you're going to be successful or not. All you have is this burning ambition inside you and this self-belief. But, you know, the critical thing for any entrepreneurs who are about to start out is not to underestimate the sheer amount of effort that is involved. And even though, Murray, you're in Palo Alto and started off in Silicon Valley, you know, your company, you know, people don't get millions of dollars of funding off the bat. You know what I mean? That's that story of determination. Tell us more about that.
The thing is, you need to try and find a way to build a credibility along the journey that you're going. And you need to be able to take advantage of the failures that you've had as building up the record that you've got, so that when you want to work with other people, they will recognize that you've got the skills and ability to be successful as an entrepreneur, even though it's a comparatively new project, because they recognize that you've built the talents that you have, which are going to make you successful, because you've put in the hard work and the hours, and you have tried all of these projects, and you know how to run a project or a business, and By doing that, you're able to work with bigger and bigger partners, bigger and bigger successes, and therefore you can succeed on a larger scale because you've had those successes. Now, if someone's starting out, how do you get that at work? If you're in a job, I would always think, rather than necessarily just going out and doing something instantly yourself, how do you find within your workplace even a project that you can run, that you can take responsibility for, that means that you have to be the one driving it, that has risk associated with it, but also can have reward for the company. And so you can see that you can work through those mechanisms on someone else's dime, in someone else's time, maybe grow more connections, which give you that experience. Because when you start off as an entrepreneur, everyone thinks, I'm going to start this business, it's going to be really successful, it's going to make lots of money fast. And it always takes much longer, it's much more painful, It takes much more money.
Yep.
And there's a much harder commitment than you ever think there will be at the start.
And the journey is a very different journey than what you think it's going to be when you start. Because when you come out of an employed position, there's a lot of things that are there that are done for you that you miss and that you don't realize are there. So I think that's a great piece of advice, which is to try and almost put yourself in an entrepreneurial position in your current job and then feel what it's like to be in charge and be responsible for something.
And you've got to also think to yourself that when you start, if you speak to any entrepreneur, as I say, they've normally tried several business ideas that didn't work.
Yes.
And they don't work for all kinds of reasons that you will never know at the start, whether it's the business model, whether it's the timing, whether it's the cash flow, whatever it is. And so you've got to start a business thinking that it's going to succeed, but at the same time, knowing that it's probably not going to succeed. Because if you don't think it's going to succeed, you won't try hard at it. But if you are planning that your first business idea is going to succeed, I wouldn't bet my rent, my future on that one business idea. Particularly if it's your first time doing something like this, because you've got to know that statistically they don't work.
And how important are mentors? And my example is, as an entrepreneur, you know, you have this single-minded dedication, the determination, the focus. And the problem is, in many cases, that cuts out so many other people because you think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it on my own. I don't want to listen to anybody else. Do you come across that a lot?
Yes. I mean, I think all entrepreneurs struggle with that because, as you say, you have to have that vision to do it. At the same time, it is really important to get advice from other people who are seasoned veterans. And I wish when I started my career, I'd had more advice, leadership, and guidance. And I think that's also really important to understand about one of the challenges facing America is lack of mobility.
Yes.
If your parents are successful entrepreneurs, it means you're likely to have money and resources to start your project. And if the project fails, it doesn't matter so much. But also, if they're a successful entrepreneur, they can give you years of experience and guidance to help you with your new business. Yes. You're going to have watched them fail.
Yep.
You're going to have mentors in different areas you can break into. And also, when you're starting a business, and I don't know anyone where this isn't the case, if you're starting a business and you've got lots of connections in that business area, those connections can make a huge difference to whether or not your business succeeds.
Yes.
Lots of businesses, when they start, they just need one or two big customers.
Yep.
and everything else will fall into place. Well, as a young entrepreneur, it's often very hard to find those first customers that are going to be of true value to you. Because you, as a young entrepreneur, particularly a new entrepreneur, you tend to work with people who are also new. Those people who are also new, by definition, tend not to have much influence, much budget, much ability to change things, to make a difference. Whereas a seasoned entrepreneur, one of the things you have is you have a Rolodex of people you can ring up, you can connect with, who can make decisions and truly change your business and make it successful by simply making a business decision on their end. So it's hard to do that when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, and it's very easy to miss how much effect that's going to have on a business. And when you think about starting a business, it's easy to get some small customers who you can be successful in a small way with.
Yep.
But if you want to be really successful on a large scale, you're going to have to work with other massive companies, and it's very hard to go from nothing to you can go from nothing to one.
Yes.
Relatively easy, often with a lot of hard work and just
yes.
hours. But to go from one to something really big, you need those connections often, which is who you know.
And also, but I think that 99.something% of all small businesses in the US fall into the category of not having contacts, not having parents who can drive them.
Yeah.
And are people who have that drive, that determination, that desire, but really lack guidance, knowledge, understanding. And that's why, you know, I firmly believe that collaboration and leverage two critical things for a startup is to understand how they can leverage other people's experience, knowledge, and how they must be prepared to collaborate and share at an early stage. Do you think that's something that resonates with your experience?
Very differently. Unlike Donald Trump, I didn't get a small $1 million loan from my parents.
Yes.
And they didn't have connections to help me in my business. So, yeah, I had to work at it. And I would say, as a young entrepreneur, try and find seasoned entrepreneurs within your business to work with you and help you. You might see them as a competitor, but most seasoned entrepreneurs, sad says, by the time they get a few gray hairs, I noticed a few creeping in, they realize that there are so many business cycles and there are so many facets to most businesses that you're probably not competitors, even if you think you're competitors.
Exactly.
And even if you are competitors, the market's probably big enough that you can all play in it together. And normally by having more competitors in the market, you actually help to grow the market, which is really important.
Yes.
And so people who you think are fierce, deadly competitors are probably people you want to have a really close working relationship with.
That is such a valuable piece of advice. I mean, that the idea is that as an entrepreneur, you think that you have created this idea that has to be yours and you have to keep it close to your chest. But the chances are that, what's the saying? There's nothing new under the sun. So, collaboration and working with your competitors. I mean, what would you say is the best piece of business advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, that's a really hard one. I think to try and find a trend that's bigger than you in a hot market that you think is going to be hot for a long time, where there are not many people already in the marketplace. Because then, as someone who's setting out on that journey, 6 months into that new trend or that new opportunity, you are an expert because you've been in it for 6 months.
Exactly.
And you can get hired in that area. You can say, so you can become an expert, you can become a leader in it, whether or not you have previous experience in it, because no one has previous experience in their field. So for example, I recently started a chatbot company. Yes. Chatbots, for those of you who don't know, Facebook is trying to really promote Facebook Messenger to compete with WeChat and other chat platforms. On Facebook fan pages, you can message people, and those messenger interactions are really hard for businesses to manage because they have to have people there who can take up a lot of time. It's often repetitive conversation. If you're a massive company, you could have whole teams answering that. And telecom companies, for example, have massive call centers which answer the messaging plus the phones, etc. Well, Facebook has opened up last year the ability to build technology called chatbots, which can automatically respond and add value and answer questions and give much, much better service. And I decided to go into that marketplace because Facebook is really pushing this hard. It's trying to push this to every business in America. I can see that that's going to open up a massive scope.
Yep.
And they're expecting that there will be somewhere in the region of, like, people are saying 20 to 50 million chatbots made over the next few years. So it's going to be as big as apps.
Fantastic.
Well,
yeah,
it's still relatively new within that space. I've been in it a few months, but already I'm more of an expert than a lot of people in it, and I can see it being a huge trend.
Sure.
So by spotting that huge trend, I didn't start out as an expert in it, but already I've worked with a number of companies and I'm being asked to speak at events to explain it to other people, which is, it just opens up an opportunity. Now, if I did that a couple of times before in my career, and if I hadn't spotted that it was if I hadn't realized that spotting that trend was important, I wouldn't know that spotting this trend was important.
Sure.
There are going to be many technology changes that are going to open those opportunities up. And I think as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to be ready to spot those trends and to say, okay, not this is threatening me or my job. Or you need to say, how am I going to be one of the people that sees it as an opportunity.
Absolutely. And then that comes back to what you were saying before about credibility, about getting your name out there, building credible capital so that people, what is that expression? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
You know, exactly.
You know, so that, yes. that concept in these very early stage, the stages of these types of technology revolutions, then being there at the beginning and being able to create a credible mass around yourself is vitally important.
And even within that, having over the years, by spotting new trends and spotting new technologies and taking advantage of them and being a first mover, even though a technology is new and if you jump on it early, people see you as someone who is able to successfully take advantage of those technology trends and understand those things. And whether it's you're trying to do it on a national basis or a local basis or just for your company and in your employment, if a company, for example, is a local company in the middle of America and you live in that locality, but you've been the one locally who's helped adopt technologies, who's worked with technologies, even though you don't know anything about it, they're more likely to come to you because you're the person who is able to figure these things out.
Sure.
Whether or not you actually have expertise at that time, or you are the one who's able to see that. And people also come to you with technologies and come to you with cool new things. So you want to be the person looking out for these new things, but you also want to be the person people come to for these things.
So you're creating your own gravitational attraction effectively. And is that what fueled your PR business? Is that what gave you the credibility to understand how all these businesses work together?
I think the thing is that I've just always really been interested in how people communicate themselves and these things. And by being really interested in it and trying to work out, I suppose, for myself, how did I become better known for what I was doing in order to get my green card, I was able to work that out. And so then I've been able to help other companies succeed. And now I'm using that understanding of how to succeed in building a brand, a building presence for my own companies.
So
my own chapter companies.
Which is fabulous. So the best piece of advice you think that you would give any aspiring entrepreneur, someone who's, and it might be a small business owner, but someone who's there banging their head against the wall, is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes, there can be light at the end of the tunnel. Find people who are really good at doing the thing that you want to be good at too. And don't listen to what they say, but also watch what they do.
Yes.
And sometimes they don't always say everything they do, but watch how they're successful, why they're successful, and try and understand that and try and see how you can relate those things to what you're doing and then find those opportunities. And it's interesting, you can build a product or a service to deliver something, but at the end of the day, you're trying to help people's lives in one way or another, whether it's their personal lives or whether it's their business life. And spot those opportunities, and I say ideally those opportunities that are part of bigger trends that you can become involved in, and then just try and get involved in those.
That's fantastic. Well, Murray, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I think there's some fantastic nuggets of wisdom there that, you know, if I was listening, I would be hanging on to every word.
Thank you very much.
And how do our listeners get in touch with you? What's the best way of contacting you?
You can go to my website, www.murraynewlands.com, and you can find me there or find me at chattypeople.com.
That's brilliant. Murray, thanks again for being on the show. I'm Matthew Sullivan, and you've been listening to Hooked on Startups. See you next week.